This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamualaikum Fatima, and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Can you hear me clearly? Yes, I can. In what name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are you going to be sharing with us this evening?
Well, the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I chose is the name Ar-Razzaq. But before that, I just wanted to also briefly talk about the name Allah itself. Because, yes, subhanallah, you know, it's so difficult to choose a name of Allah to talk about because all of them are so, so beautiful. So, inshallah, I will first of all speak about the name Allah. Inna alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. So, the reason why I chose the name Allah, first and foremost, is that many people, you know, especially amongst the non-Muslims, or as we like to call them, the not-yet-Muslims, often misunderstand what the name Allah is. You know, it sounds like it's the name of a person or someone different. But of course, we know, as Muslims, that Allah is a unique name, the name that Allah, that God Himself, called Himself. And it's not a new name. You know, there are variations of the name in the Judo-Christian, you know, in history. But the thing that's unique about the name Allah is that it means, first of all, the one who deserves to be worshipped. And, you know, it doesn't have plurals to it. It doesn't have, you know, a feminine version. There's no gender kind of, you know, implication to it, and it really suits our belief with about God, which is that he is not male, even though we refer to him as he. This is just simply you know, the way that he has referred to himself, but it doesn't mean that he's male. He's above gender. He's one, unique, and he alone deserves to be worshipped. And the reason why the name Allah is something that always stands out for me is, you know, to be honest, is that when I was in my most difficult moments, and without wanting to put anyone off, for me, the most difficult physical moment that I've been in has been, you know, when I've been in labor, you know, and subhanAllah, I have four children. So, you know, subhanAllah, that in those times, during every time when I was about to give birth and I was going through the labor, this name is the name that just was on my lips and came the most easily to me, and the one that I drew comfort from, you know, calling upon Allah and asking Him to make it easy for me. So I just wanted to briefly mention that name because it's so special to me. But the name that I would like to focus on is the name Ar-Razzaq. Ar-Razzaq. And subhanAllah, you know, the name Ar-Razzaq, for me, it's like, you know, life-changing when we really focus on this name and this attribute of Allah. That not that He is Ar-Raziq, not that He provides for some of His creation and not for others, but He is Ar-Razzaq that provides for everyone, whether they're believers or non-believers, whether they are the smallest of creation, the ant, or the bee, or the birds, or the biggest creation that exists, the whales, elephants, the, you know, and for us human beings. SubhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for all of us. And Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. That there is not a creature, even the most small creature upon this earth, except that it is upon Allah to provide for it. Subhanallah. So what is rizq? I think that's the question, isn't it? What is rizq? What is it that Allah provides? Often we think rizq is money, or that it's just, you know, simply wealth, or, you know, material things. But, you know, the scholars of Islam tell us that it's actually an all-encompassing word that takes into account everything we need. So rizq includes not just money and food, it could be time. Allah provides people with the time that they are blessed with. Allah provides people with the knowledge. Allah provides people with energy. You know, subhanAllah, energy is rizq from Allah. Health is rizq from Allah. Our beauty, our strength, our money, our spouses, whether we will be married or not, these things are rizq from Allah. Our children are rizq from Allah. Our property, the power and influence that we will each have, that is rizq from Allah. The authority that we have. So every single resource, really, that we could, as human beings, be provided with, is rizq from Allah. And it was written for us before we were even born. So when we were in the wombs of our mothers, yani, it was written for us what our sustenance would be. And even before that, it was written for us in al-lawh al-mahfuz, in the preserved tablets that are with Allah, what our rizq would be. Allah has full knowledge of what our rizq will be. And so, really, knowing that and realizing that, no one can really benefit us unless Allah wants to benefit us. And nothing can harm us unless, you know, Allah had written it for us. Really, that's incredibly liberating, I find. You know, because, you know, it means I don't have to worry about keeping up with the Joneses. You know, I don't have to worry about, you know, how is my money going to be coming in and where is it going out. I don't have to be overly concerned with this because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide for me. But so I don't have to worry about the provision. I just have to strive. So, you know, as human beings, we strive to earn and to have halal income. But we don't worry overly, you know, be overly concerned and overly indulging in these material matters. We worry more about whether the way we're living our life pleases Allah or not. Because in essence, that's what's going to give us the rizq. That's what's going to make Allah deem us worthy of His rizq. And also, I think, one of the things it does is it makes you realize that, you know, when it comes to rizq, 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2. Now, that sounds a bit strange. What do I mean by that? To explain it, you know, I would like to use this example. You know, if Allah puts barakah, puts blessing in our wealth, in our rizq, in anything that He provides us with, then £10 could do more for us than £1,000. And if there is no barakah, if there's no blessing in our wealth, because perhaps we've earned it from haram means, or we are living our life in a way that's displeasing to Allah, then £1,000,000 could cause us no benefit and could just be khasara, loss for us, you know. So when it comes to rizq, we shouldn't think that, you know, the actual numerical value of the things that we have, even time, you know, 10 minutes, if Allah puts barakah in those 10 minutes, could be full of so much benefit for us. And at other times, 10 days, 10 years could be wasted because there is no barakah, there's no blessing in that. So when it comes to rizq, we need to stop looking at it as in terms of, you know, its numerical value. You know, there's this hidden kind of essence to rizq that really we can only access through pleasing Allah. So the lesson for us is not to have haram earnings, not to think that, you know, okay, if I need to get that job, I need to earn that money, but I'm not going to get that job if I wear hijab. I'm not going to get that job if I obey Allah, if I pray, for example, at work. So we might think, you know, let me compromise on some of my principles. Let me compromise for the sake of money, for the sake of earning money. When we realize that Allah is al-Razzaq, we won't be worried. We realize, no. I'm going to stay true to my principles because Allah is al-Razzaq. He's the one who's going to provide for me, you know. And it's not this job that's providing for me. The job is just a means. So I think, you know, in that sense, it's very, very liberating. It also, a lesson for us as women is to encourage our husbands to do what's right, you know. Sometimes a woman, a wife, could be a means to their husband earning through haram means. Because she puts so much pressure on her husband, you know, she wants him to earn this much or earn that much, and, you know, she's not willing to be patient, for example. A wife could perhaps encourage her husband to do haram when it comes to earning money. But let us be sure that we are not women who do that. Okay? Because, you know, I'll give you a little story. I remember when my husband was, you know, he had a very, very high-earning job, mashallah, as a consultant for an IT company. And when he was made redundant, you know, as the recession started hitting the country. And, you know, mashallah, he has a family to support. And obviously, you know, when you have a certain level of income, you get used to living in a certain way. And soon after being made redundant, he was offered jobs and, you know, he was really looking for a good job. And when he was offered jobs, unfortunately, each one of them he found had something major that was kind of, you know, compromising on the deen. Some of them were for financial companies where he would have to be involved in haram financial transactions like interest, etc. Others were companies that were selling things that were, you know, kind of promoting evil in society. And, you know, he had a choice at that moment whether, you know, he would take these jobs or not. And it was very difficult to find a job at that time. But I remember that we sat together and, you know, mashallah, he made the decision that he would only do what's right. And instead of spending his time in trying to find these jobs and trying to pursue these jobs, he spent his time trying to do something that he felt would please Allah. And I remember my father gave me advice at that time, and it was golden advice. He said to me, look, if you were working for the government, if you were working for a big company, big organization, wouldn't they take care of you? Yeah, they would take care of you. They would put you in a nice hotel, they'd make sure your expenses were paid, you know, they would take care of you. So what about if you're working for Allah? What if you spent your life and your time in da'wah, for example, or doing something for the sake of Allah that may not have much of an income, okay, in and of itself? Wouldn't Allah take care of you? Wouldn't Allah provide for you? Subhanallah al-Azim. This advice, you know, really changed, I remember, my perspective on rizq. Because look, subhanAllah, we don't know what it is that we're doing that is causing Allah to provide for us. And this is really illustrated in the story of this man who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my brother, he doesn't work. You know, he's just like seeking knowledge. He's seeking knowledge and I'm supporting him financially. Okay, I'm supporting him financially and he's seeking knowledge, he's memorizing Quran, etc. Shouldn't he be working? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to this man, do you know it is because of this brother of yours that you are being provided for by Allah? Allahu Akbar. So, you see, you know, we don't know what it is that we're doing. Perhaps we're supporting some charities. Perhaps it's because, you know, we're bringing our children up upon the right path. All these things could be means for Allah providing for us. And it's not necessarily the job that we have. But, of course, we must strive. Yani, it doesn't mean that we sit at home waiting for the rizq to appear on our laps. It means that we work. Yes, we work in the way of Allah. We work in whatever talents we have and we strive. But we remember that rizq is ultimately from Allah. And I would like to end with just mentioning some of the ways that we could seek to increase our provision. Of course, this increase is also already written for us, because Allah knows that we would try to seek this increase. And so Allah had already written it for us. But let me tell you about some of the ways to try to increase our provision, our barakah in our provision. Number one, to be thankful to Allah and constantly say to Allah and mention the thanks to Allah for the things that we have. Okay, that's number one. Sometimes we forget. And now when we say unthankful things, subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you thank Allah, He will increase you. So be thankful to Allah. Establishing the salah is one of the ways of increasing rizq. Of course, establishing the salah. Number three, keeping family ties, even when they're cutting off from you. Even if there's people in your family who annoy you, whatever it is, send them an email, say a good word to them, write to them, send them gifts. Keep that relationship, keep family ties. Going on Hajj and Umrah is another way of increasing our rizq. Supporting students of knowledge, you know, subhanAllah. If you're bringing up a child who's a student of knowledge, or if you can give money to a cause where students of knowledge can be supported, or if you become a student of knowledge yourself, you know, subhanAllah, this is a means of increasing your rizq. Giving sadaqah is a way of increasing rizq. It sounds counterintuitive, huh? But it is a means of increasing rizq. When we give in the way of Allah, Allah gives to us. Having children is a means of increasing rizq, because when we have that child, the rizq of that child comes to us as well. Getting married is another way of increasing rizq. So I've just mentioned a few of the ways of, you know, increasing our barakah in our rizq. So inshallah, with that, I will leave you. Remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ar-razaq. Don't worry about money. Don't worry about, you know, finances. Just make sure that you're living your life pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will provide for you, and carry on striving. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Udawi dhunubi fakayfa udawi dhunubi.